Blog Talk Radio.
IMTN Worldwide Radio live on the air on a Friday morning. It is May 18th. Half the month is already gone. Can you believe that? This morning we have a special show planned, and I'm going to go ahead and get right into it. True to Atlanta, we discussed the Atlanta Hawks with our special guest, Bob Rathbun. It was a season we knew was coming sooner or later. Over the past 4 years, we saw Hawks that had always been Hawks, no longer Hawks. We saw free agent signings that made our team better, no longer here. Finally, the head coach, one that won the coach of the year and got the team to its first Eastern Conference Finals, no longer here. But we did get an influx of new talent, talent that makes a difference each night. And now the Hawks have the top three pick for the first time in many years. What will happen next? Today we get to delve into these topics and more with the face of Atlanta Hawks basketball on Fox Sports South, Bob Rathbun. He's a veteran broadcaster with over 30 years of experience in the industry. Bob has seen all the ups and downs of the franchise, so who better to ask about this past season? So tune in, listen in, call in. If you're a basketball fan, you're a Hawks fan, this is your show. Of course, call in 646-652-4479. I will try to take a few callers today. Of course, be sure to follow us on the Instagram page, IMTN Worldwide Radio. And with that, let's go ahead and bring Bob into the show. Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing fine. Good morning to you.
All right. Go ahead and give you my obligatory applause. So let's get right into it. Well, you got it. First of all, actually, I did want to ask you one question. Well, not a question, but first of all, just thank you about being available. I know you have a busy schedule, but how are you right now? How have you been?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. It's an exciting time. The lottery's behind us, and now getting ready for the draft, and you know, a lot of preparation to figure out who we're going to draft and how they will fit in. So it's a pretty exciting time right now.
Exactly. So we have a lot to cover. I'm going to try to get through all of my topics with you. First things first, the 2017 season, I kind of mentioned it a little bit. In particular, we didn't keep Dwight. He goes to Charlotte Hornets. Paul, we don't keep him. He goes to the Nuggets. We do draft Collins. We drafted Dorsey. We get Dedmon from San Antonio. But we did have a lot of injuries to start the season. But we know the Hawks were very competitive. They played every game hard. You know, they lost almost like 30 games by 10 points or less. So me, myself, of course, I think with all those things being said, we had a great season considering. What do you think about the 2017 season as a whole, Bob?
Well, year one of a rebuild, I think, is probably the best way to sum it up. A lot of guys got opportunities to see what they could do with the minutes that they were afforded. I thought the year played out very well for a guy like Jay Collins, Tyler Dorsey. They've got opportunities that, you know, in a regular year where you're competing for a playoff spot, they may not have gotten that kind of opportunity with minutes, et cetera. So you use that as building blocks for the years to come, and we've got an influx of a lot more new people coming. So it's, you know, step one of the journey, and now we go forward with a new head coach, a new staff, and we'll see what Lloyd wants to do with this young talent and how he can put it all together.
Yeah. What player do you think improved the most from last season?
I think I'd have to say Tyler Dorsey. You know, a guy who was struggling for minutes early on, you know, was up and down with the D League. And then finally, about 2 months to go in the season, you know, he got minutes and responded great, you know, and made a handful of starts, shot the ball well, proved that he's an NBA player, I think. And really step one of the, you know, what will be a process for him to become a regular rotation guy in a winning NBA lineup. A very important summer for him, not only playing summer league ball, but working out and working to improve his game, et cetera. So I thought if I had to pick one guy, I'd say of the group that's going forward with us, I would say be Dorsey.
Okay. And I would agree largely on the basis of just what you mentioned, getting minutes. And once he got those minutes, he took full advantage of it. And you can see that on a regular basis, not only could he put the ball in the basket by hitting a jump shot, but he could also drive. He could also he could run the offense a little bit if needed, things of that nature. He was comfortable. You could see that he was comfortable being on the court. So I thought that was a big deal, definitely. What do you think about the guys that they did call up from G League at the end of last year? What do you think of them? And then do you think any of them have a chance to stay on the team?
Well, you know, they came to us in various ways. You know, a guy like Damian Lee came on a 10-day contract. You know, so he was sort of on a make-good situation right to start with. I think he proved that, you know, he's an NBA player. Now, you know, I think as we go through all these guys, you got to realize that it's a new coaching staff that's going to be looking at these guys. So they may see different things than the last staff. So it's hard to project just exactly where these guys are going to fit in. But, you know, they're going to get an opportunity. I think Andrew White showed some flashes that he could, you know, be a pretty good shooter from long distance. You know, a guy like, even though he wasn't really in the D League, but Isaiah Taylor, is another guy proving himself. You know, is he going to be an NBA player going forward? You know, I kind of leave John Collins out of the equation because he was going to play regardless. But I thought John was surprised, you know, to average 10 points and 7 boards and shoot the ball as well as he did, and late in the year add that 3-point shot. So good on the offensive glass. I thought that, you know, he had a fine year and will do nothing but get better going forward. So, you know, those are the guys I thought that kind of made, you know, a little bit of an impact. It's just, like I say, it's just hard to say, you know, even like a guy like Bember, who's just been so injury plagued. He's got to prove that he can stay healthy. You know, they've already cut ties with Tyler Cavanaugh. Malcolm Delaney is going to be unrestricted. I don't know what the future holds for him. Dedmon is probably going to opt out and get a bigger deal elsewhere that he really earned and deserves. And then everybody else is on the contract. So I think that's kind of where we are.
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned
Cleveland's another.
Oh, say it again?
Antonius Cleveland is another guy to see where we are.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you say Cleveland. I was like, we're not talking about Cleveland today, Bob.
Yeah. No, AC, Antonius Cleveland.
All right, cool. And actually, you mentioned something that I think we do kind of forget about a little bit. Well, not forget, but in regards to players on the team, and now we do have a new philosophy coming in, so that's going to go into my next set of questions as we turn into the off season. What were your thoughts when you first heard that Bud had gotten permission to speak to the Suns?
I wasn't totally shocked. You know, the only unusual part of it was the fact that he had 2 years left on his deal. That's a little unusual for an NBA team to ask permission to talk to a coach with 2 years left. But really doesn't surprise me. You know, Bud has an accomplished track record, and he's from Arizona. There may have been some attractiveness there for him to go back to Arizona. So it really didn't shocked me a great deal. I thought I was more surprised when the Knicks wanted to talk to him, because then you get to the point, well, does he really want to stay here? If, you know, one team asks, that's one thing. But when you start shopping yourself around anybody who's got a job open, then that's a completely different dynamic.
Yeah. And just in my viewpoint, it was just the principle of this, just longevity with a club. And I guess, you know, what's the cliche when the, you know, the going gets tough, the tough gets going? Actually, that was a song, I guess. But in the realm of any head coach over a period of time, you're going to have a, you know, a season kind of like this somewhere in there. I know Pop never really had one like this, but I didn't see it coming, I guess, out of the corner of my eye to where this was just a blip. This was going to happen. And for me, I felt that we're not that far away. We can do whatever we got to do and get back on it. I just didn't feel like this season was just so, quote unquote, horrendous. Again, we competed the game, you know, but coaches to win, players play to win. So it just kind of, I don't know, just, I guess it shocked me. I didn't see it coming. So I was just wondering how you felt about it, just because you're on the sidelines every day. So.
Well, I Bud would be an attractive candidate for all of these openings. And not totally unusual to see a franchise come and ask, you know, he's moved on and we've moved on. So it's time to get ready for Coach Pierce and his new staff.
Which brings me to my next set of questions. So first things as far as impressions about Coach Lloyd. I know fans have noticed how quickly he's endured himself to the city. I know one guy joked that he was bagging groceries at Kroger for him the other day. You know, he threw out the first pitch the other night at the Braves game. How important do you feel his visibility or visibility for any coach as a major franchise? How important do you think that is, and how do you feel about Coach Lloyd so far?
Very positive. The fact that he's been so open and engaging just his short time here in Atlanta since he got the job, I think that the biggest thing for him now is to put his staff together. And with, you know, with Bud moving on, I think in the next few days we'll get some definition as to exactly what he's working with the guys that are staying, the guys that are leaving. So I think those are two big things that we'll get out of the way here in the next few days. And then as we get to learn Coach Pierce and exactly, you know, what he envisions philosophically, what kind of team that he wants to have, I think it's pretty clear from everything that he said that player development is going to be big, which is music to my ears, because you're going to have such a young team for the next few years. So developing these guys and getting them up to speed to be NBA playoff team caliber players is encouraging. And so I think, you know, it's still too early to really know exactly what it is he wants. I think he and Travis are on the same page. They'll be looking at these prospects in the same way. They're aligned in terms of their philosophy about what they want and how they want to build it. So, you know, I'm just kind of excited to see how this all shakes out. And it gives you a lot of flexibility, a lot of choices. You can trade. We're certainly under the cap by, you know, $25 million almost. And that gives you some flexibility if you want to talk about trades and stuff like that. So we're in a good spot to rebuild this thing. And I think we're off to a good start. Started last year, and it'll just get better this summer.
I'm definitely excited about the fact that he preaches defense. He mentioned that a lot in the presser that y'all had. And great job, by the way. You always do great when you do the announcing of new coaches and or players when you host things like that. So great job as usual. About defense. He talked about defense, and of course, me, I'm a defense wins championships type of person still. So I'm definitely excited about that. 646-652-4479. We have Bob Rathbun on the line with us. So I have to go ahead and do it. I'm not going to give too much time into it, depending on what you say. But elephant in the room, Dennis, and your thoughts.
Well, he's got 3 years to go in his contract, so I don't know how big an elephant it may be. I don't read a lot into players, what they do on social media. You know, if they delete a photo or, you know, something like that, that doesn't really move the needle for me. If he put out there that I don't want to be here and I want to be traded, now that's a little different deal. But I don't get all in a, you know, the Twitter explosion of whether or not somebody deletes on a tweet or a Instagram page, something like that, to go.
Oh, and, go ahead. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obvious that he's got some things to work on. The 3-point shot is something that he's got to improve upon. But he brings, you know, a quickness and a knowledge of what that point guard position takes in the NBA. Still an asset and still a valuable member of this team until, you know, coach decides otherwise. Now, Lloyd may come in here and say, you know, this isn't the guy, or maybe he says, you know, I got no problems with Dennis. I think this is part of the learning process of coach and point guard, coach and player, for all the guys, you know, whether it's Dennis or Bazemore or Prince, and all they've all got to learn each other. So, I'm excited to see what the fresh eyes take a look at this situation and see where he wants to go forward.
I think with fans, it wasn't so much the Instagram tiff or whatnot. I think it was the fact that he mentioned two teams he would like to play for type of a deal in the interview that he gave. And I think that once you start naming teams out loud, you know, that gets kind of, you know, does he want to be here type of a deal? You know, when you say that, you know, in public spotlight, you don't keep that behind closed doors type of deal, and you're still under contract, like you mentioned. So I think that's what it was more so than the Instagram thing, because, you know, we had to, you know, you saw Julio take his stuff down the other day. You know, that's no big deal. But I think when you start, you know, you're a current player on a current team and, you know, you being the point guard, the de facto leader, and then all of a sudden we hear that, you know, you're wanting to maybe play for some other teams, that gets kind of, well, what in the world is going on? So that's why I think a lot of fans had a lot to, you know, say about that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I would like to, when Dennis gets back to this country, to ask him, what exactly did you mean by that? Because I know a lot of times, and I didn't read the story in the German press, but I will give Dennis the benefit of the doubt in so much as things kind of get taken out of context when they're translated from German. You know, I don't know how the question was posed and exactly what, you know, what his response was. So I will give Dennis the benefit of the doubt. But you're right. You don't go around saying you'd rather play for somebody else when you're under contract with one team. So I would like to get to the bottom of that. But again, I remember a couple of years ago he gave an interview in the German press about he wanted to be a starter, and when Teague was here, and the translation what got everybody all a Twitter, because it just didn't translate what he actually said and what he actually meant. It turned out to be two different things. So I will give him a little benefit of the doubt on that one.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. Like I say, like you said, definitely some clarity would be a little bit helpful just because of the state of the team as it is right now, where we're going through some changes. That would be a drastic change, of course, but, you know, we at the end of the day, of course, as fans, we want players to, you know, of course, just like anybody, want the players to want to play here, to play here. And so if it is something else, yeah, we need to kind of know. But if it's not, we need to kind of know. So thank you for your insight in regards to that, because I know a lot of people forgot about that whole I want to be a starter interview from years ago too. At the top of the show, I mentioned how we did compete hard last year. We know what Prince did at the end of last year. We can see Collins as a true double-double. We have a great bench even after losing Ersan and Marco. How far do you think, just on the surface, of course, we know what we have to do with the draft and maybe free agency or whatnot, but how far do you think the team is to returning back to the playoffs?
Too soon to say. The one thing that you'll notice as you watch the playoffs, that very few young teams are there. You know, the ages of these clubs are pretty substantial, and the experience factor is pretty substantial.
Yeah.
So when you put a rebuild like this together, it's going to take some time because these guys have got to first learn how to play the pro game, then they've got to learn how to play together, and then they've got to learn how to win. Any of those steps to get there. So to try to put a timetable on it is folly, I believe, at this point. What you're trying to do is to get not so much, like in the draft, not so much the best player. You want to get the best right player. You know, if the pressure that's on this organization is to get it right, and I think that they will. But you can't, like in Philadelphia, everybody hails the process. But it was 4 years. They lost over 270 games.
That was a lot
players.
Going on.
You know, there's only 50 guys on the roster, and they went through 73 players over 30 point guards. You know, the vast majority of the players that they had are no longer in the league. That's a tough way to go to end up with Embiid and Simmons. You know, they whiffed on before. They whiffed on Nerlens Noel. They whiffed on, it looks like they whiffed on Fultz. These are high picks. You know, you've got to have a better batting average than what they had. And really, truthfully, in my opinion, they did not take off until they got Redick, and then later when they got Ersan and Marco, veteran guys that know how to win. You know, if they'd have stuck with the kids, they probably wouldn't have made the playoffs. And I think, we'll know more of this, you know, when we get to talk to Lloyd in depth about it. But they really overachieved this year. I mean, nobody saw this bunch as a 52-win team. Nobody saw this team anything more than trying to make the playoffs. They got hot at the end, had that incredible winning streak. But then they got exposed by Boston. I'm surprised, quite frankly, they didn't get exposed by Miami more. But you saw, I mean, their turnovers, my God in heaven, turn the ball over, and Ben Simmons can't shoot. So
that was really disturbing.
My point of all that, Chris, is to get to Hawks fans to understand that we want the best right guys. Forget the mock drafting heads are saying, and listen to what Lloyd and Travis say. These are the guys that matter. And they will put in a lot of time and a lot of work to come up with the guys who they think are the best fit for this franchise. Now, it may not be Draft Express's, you know, top pick, but we don't really care. They don't have any skin in the game. They're going to do this again next summer. You know, what I care about is what Travis and Lloyd want, and how do we integrate these guys, get good guys that are hard workers or good players, want to grow, want to be here, want to be a part of this, and we'll go from there.
Gotcha. Bob, I do have a question from a fan, Wayne Roundtree in Atlanta, asks, who are your favorites in the upcoming draft, us having a number three pick and all? Do you have any players of interest, I should say, maybe?
No, not really. I mean, I think the top names are the top names. Everybody knows the top six, seven, eight that's going to be in this draft. I'm more concerned, really, with the guys later on, what might be available. Mm-hmm. Who could we maybe steal from somebody at 19? Who could we get as a bargain value at 34? To me, that's where the significance of this draft lies. Not so much at number. With all due respect, that's pretty easy. I think at 19 and 30 and 34, that's where the difference will be made in this draft. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think at this stage of the game, it's just way, way, way too early. We haven't even brought in guys yet to work out that they're going to draft at those spots. So, and, of course, you never know who's going to be left. I mean, look, just go back to last year. Just go back to last year's draft. forget about Jason Tatum, because he would not be getting the minutes had they not had all those injuries, okay? You've got to go down to number 13 and Donovan Mitchell to find the first guy who impacted winning. Not that they're not good players, not that they're not going to have great stats and all of that stuff, but I'm talking about somebody who's going to go out there and impact winning. Nobody on this planet saw what Donovan Mitchell was, okay? That's what we're dealing with. Who are those guys that we can swoop in there and get that are really going to help us? To me, that's where the genius of the drafting process is.
And with the number of draft picks that we have a real shot to really, what's the word I'm looking for, remake this team really from the ground up, from the inside out, so to speak, in regards to how many draft picks that we have who are actually still on this team right now, as opposed to previous years where they didn't stay around that long. We're on the verge of really building our team from the ground up, and I think that's really exciting as well. One other question, free agency, you know, is going to come into play. Do you think the Hawks are going to play big this year, or are they going to wait until next year to go hard in the free agency?
Well, when you're talking free agency, I assume you're talking about the big name free agents. And by that, I think
or the middle
we'll
name.
Wait. The middle names, I think, are out there. You know, we're one of four teams that's got an opportunity to sign people. We're so far under the cap. So
true.
I think the big thing, Chris, to keep in mind for all Hawks fans is that what we have are options, okay? When you pick third, there's an option. You could take a phone call from a team and say, they say to you, we'd like to have that number three pick. Would you be interested in, you know, player X? Because you're in the situation you're in, you could say, okay, does that make us better faster? Gives you options. You can take those draft picks at the end of the first round and maybe package them and move up. Maybe if you don't like anybody at three, that's great. Maybe you trade down and get an asset for next year. So there's a lot of options that are available to the team, and that's what I like the most about it. I mean, this is a big, big summer for our franchise, and I like where we are, and I think the free agency piece will come later.
Okay. Well, I'm excited, Bob. Again, I'm glad I was able to get you on. I know we had a little bit of the when you hit me up yesterday, I was just like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be on air? So he kind of scared me.
Yeah,
for a second. I was like, wait a minute.
Wrong Thursday down. So that was my fault. I apologize.
No worries. But I'm excited, and I know you're excited too. The WNBA season is about to start. Angel is back. Can't wait to hear you calling their games this year. I know Hawks fans need to make sure we support the Dream, the ladies over there. And also, we have a major Hawk draft party in June, Bob. We're going to invite you. I'm going to send you the info, so hopefully you can make it, okay?
Okay. I appreciate that.
How can fans find you on social media?
The Dream, by the way, have no bigger fan than Lloyd Pierce. He was at the Braves game the other night to throw out the first pitch and spent a lot of time with the new Dream coach, Nicky Collin. And Lloyd's planning on coming to the opener next Saturday night.
He is really going to
be there supporting the Dream and the WNBA, and that'll be great to see.
Gotcha. Well, Bob, and actually, they can find you on Twitter. Is it under your name, Bob Rathbun?
It's Bob Rathbun TV on Twitter, yes.
Bob Rathbun TV. So everybody, if you're not following him on Twitter, he's a good follow on Twitter. During any sports season, but of course during the NBA season, of course, and the playoffs. So, but again, Bob, thank you for taking the time this morning. I know you're a busy man. I hate to end the show, but I have to, of course. But hopefully we'll have you on later on this summer or even in the fall as the season begins, okay?
Sure. Let's get back together around summer league time.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Bob.
Fantastic. Okay. Bye.
Bye, Bob. So that was Bob Rathbun. Have to end the show, of course, and I'm hoping that all the Atlanta Hawks fans that listened in live got to appreciate that. interview with Bob, got his insights in regards to what's going on with the Hawks season, past, present, and now future. It's an exciting time for us, but a lot of stuff is going on. So, but can't wait for Summer League, as he mentioned. I'll definitely get him on during some of those games, and we'll go from there. Until then, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care.